Today, I want to share with you a very quick story before we get started. Last year, I did something that I have never done before in my entire life. And it came from standing right here. A couple times ago that I preached, I don't remember the correct date. But it's been sometime last year, I went to read the scripture and I felt myself pulling a Ken Gilbert. And I think 30 years old hit me. I said, man, my eyesight's going already. So I scheduled an eye doctor's appointment just to go get things checked out. Anyway, I went in, I sit in the eye doctor's in the office. They've done the checkup, 20/20 vision. Everything looks good. Don't worry. Come back and see me in 3 years. Man, I like that kind of doctor right there. Come back and see me in 3 years. Now, my wife, on the other hand, you know, no sermon's good without adding your wife in there. So I got to add my wife in there. My wife, Terry, she's looking at me with that look right now. Without her glasses, the girl is blind. And that's probably why she married me, but that's okay. But that being said, she posed the question to me about going to get this LASIK surgery. And I said, oh, costs too much. Let's cut that out right now. You look good with your glasses on. Just keep your glasses. Everything's going fine. But let me ask you a question today. Though I went last year for the first time in my life to the eye doctor's appointment, and she said, you're good for 3 years. Today I want you to realize this message today. We come before the spiritual eye doctor. Every one of us. Today, picture yourself in the spiritual eye doctor's chair. Some maybe have never been there before. Maybe this is your first time at church. I say welcome. Welcome to the doctor's house. Maybe some come every week, and week by week you find yourself in this spiritual checkup, but it gets mundane, it gets routine, it gets normal, and we forget where we are. Today, as we gather together as the church of God and the people of God, I want you to find yourself, and here's the question of the day. You find yourself in the eye doctor's chair, and he's asking you the same question that I'm going to ask you today. What are you focused on? Right now, with God looking straight in your eyes, he asks you this question. What are you focused on? Now, there are many answers to that question, and we'll get to those in just a second. But that being said, sometimes I need binoculars to bring things into vision. Sometimes I need a magnifying glass to bring things into vision. And sometimes I need God's Word to bring things into vision. And today is one of those days, I believe, that we need God's Word before us to bring it all into vision. God's Word picks up today, and we're going to pick up right in the middle of a story. So I've got to give you a little background. And the background goes something like this. There's a king of Syria named Ben-Hadad. Ben-Hadad is Assyria's military king. Now Syria has this military tactic where they send these bands into Israel and attack a little bit at a time. They don't send the whole army, but they send these bands, and they just chip away at Israel a little bit at a time, and then they send another band, chip a little bit more. They raid and loot and take everything that Israel has, and then they leave town. Well, today, we're going to meet another man by the name of Elisha the prophet. Many people have heard of Elisha before. Elisha is the one that picked up Elijah's mantle and carried it with a double portion of his blessing for God and for God alone. Now, I want to stop right there and say this. There are many men, and I'm going to single you out, men, myself included, that need to pick up the mantle of God. I see John Maynard right up there, and he puts it this way. We're dropping the ball. Don't let us drop the ball. Well, guys, we're dropping the mantle. We're not carrying the mantle of God like we should. But there comes along a prophet. His name is Elisha. He carries that mantle, and he carries it well for God. But God has given him a very special blessing, and that is this, is that he understands and he knows Ben-Hadad, which is the king of Syria, He knows his military moves. And so Ben-Hadad starts scratching his head and he says, we've got somebody in our camp that's a traitor. We've got to find out who this person is that's giving away our military secrets. And one of them spoke up very softly and said, hey, it's that prophet Elisha over in Israel. He's telling the king of Israel our very moves, and they're prepared for our moves. Now, I know that's very quick and very sudden, but that's the background of our story real quick. Ben-Hadad's next move is this. We are going to get Elisha. That's my next move. We're going to get Elisha. Look in your Bibles, 2 Kings chapter 6, verse number 14. Pick up there. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host. And they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city both with horses and with chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man. And he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. And Elisha said unto them, this is not the way, neither is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom you seek. But he led them to Samaria. And it came to pass when they were coming to Samaria that Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see. And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw, and behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. And the king of Israel said unto Elisha, when he saw them, my father, shall I smite them? Shall I smite them? And he answered, thou shalt not smite them. Wouldest thou smite those whom thou hast taken captive with the sword and with a bow? Set bread and water before them, that they may eat and drink and go to their master. And he prepared a great provision for them. And when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away. And they went to their master. So the bands of Syria came no more into the land of Israel. May God add his blessing to his word. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you. We bow before you, Lord, today, knowing that you are our spiritual doctor. Father, today I pray, Lord, in only the way that you and your spirit can, that you remove the scales from eyes in this place. Father, that you would allow us to see your work, your plan in our lives. God, we ask you just to move in such a way, Lord, that it may even bring one person to you. We ask this in the strong name of Christ. Amen. Today, as we have read God's word, and maybe you know the story, maybe you have heard the story, you know, I see the count of Elisha and Ben-Hadad and the servant and the army of Syria, and I hope today that this teaches you and I a lesson about how true God is to us. But the question of the sermon goes like this: what are you focused on? Well, what a good time to ask that question. How many of you, real quick, by show of hands, how many of you are finished Christmas shopping? Well, I got one, two. I know they got my presents already too, right? How many of you haven't even started? Yeah, that's my people right there. But listen, guys, our focus this time of year goes solely all out on Christmas. It goes all out, and not that it's a bad thing, but it can become a bad thing. If it's your driving force, if it's what you're solely focused on, then it becomes very bad. But I look at people today that are smiling back at me, that are nodding their head, and guess what? Our focus is on very different things. Our focus is on our kids. That's good, and that can be very bad. We focus on our jobs. We focus on stuff that needs to get done. We focus on many things, and before you know it, guess what? Our focus is so much so there, we are pulled away from God. My wife, she sends me to the grocery store sometimes, And a lot of times when she sends me, she's smart. She sends me for one, two, three things. I go in, get those three things, get out, and I'm done. I'm very blessed to have a wife that doesn't like to shop, but she goes and does the grocery shopping. But there are times where when she knows she has to send me to get the job of grocery shopping done, she better give me a list. Because if not, I stay on the cookie aisle and the chip aisle, and you cannot bypass the ice cream aisle. And then I come home with a bunch of stuff that we do not need. You understand? Because my focus is on what Jeffrey wants. As you know, I like sweets. So my wife spells out the list, draws it out, and on the bottom she writes only these things. Focus. That's my focal point. Only these things. I've got to focus on what I need to do, get the job done, and get home. Because if not, I'm there for hours buying cookies and ice cream and chips. You see, today, depending on where you are in life determines a lot of your focus. And the truth of the matter is, we let the situation that we're in dictate our focus. When in all honesty, our focus should never change. Our focus should never be pulled away from God. Though the situations change around us, the focus should never change. But many people, even myself and you sitting here today, we lose focus because our situation dictates what we're looking at. Verse 14 and 15 of God's word. I'm going to reread those for you, but listen to those. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host. And they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city, both with horses and with chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? A better translation is, what shall we do? What are we going to do? So you see the picture. Elijah, one man, and the Syrian army leader Ben-Hadad sends that band to surround the city. For one man, they're after Elisha. So Elisha's servant wakes up, he goes out, and he discovers what's going on. Hey, we're in trouble here. We're about to find ourselves in trouble. So running back, he finds Elisha. And Elisha, the question he asks Elisha is this: what are we going to do? I look around today and say, how many people are asking that same question? Maybe life has thrown you a curveball. Life has put you in a situation. Life has put something in your family, in your marriage, in your home, in your finances, and you don't know what you're going to do. And maybe you come to Clifford Baptist Church today because God is your last resort. And you're here saying, what am I going to do? Many times we focus on what surrounds us. Just like that servant. That servant is focused on what is surrounded. He's not focused on anything else. He knows he's about to die. He's in trouble. There's no way out. Guess what? What are we going to do? Point number one, you'll get four of them today. Point number one goes like this. Quit focusing on what surrounds you. Your situation, it could be people, it could be distraught, it could be tough times, it could be whatever. Don't focus on that which surrounds you. Today, I look around and even my church family hurts. And guys, I want you to know this, whether you know it or not, when you hurt, your pastor's hurt. I want you to know that. I've seen tears from Pastor Clyde and Pastor Mike because you hurt. It hurts us when you hurt. But I see situations such as divorce and death and sickness, depression. We focus on those things a lot of times, and you're hurting, and you feel like there's no way out. Don't focus on that which surrounds you. Because if you do, there is no hope. There's no hope there. Look at verses 16 and 17. And he answered, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Very quickly, there are two men and two different focuses. Number one, the servant, his focus was on his fears, the possibility of dying, the possibility there's no hope, there's no way out. That's his focus. And I say this, thank God for Elisha. Elisha says, "Hold, buddy, wait just a minute. Wait just a minute." He's focused on God, and he's focused on God's plan. You see, there's a verse in the New Testament from 2 Corinthians 5, 7 that a lot of you like to quote, and it goes like this, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Here it is played out. We've got one walking by faith, which is Elisha, and we got the other, the servant, walking by sight. We're dead. As only Elisha can and only God can work through, he delivers a very simple message. Elisha says, "Hey, we outnumber them." Now I can see the laugh, the question of uncertainty on that servant's face as he sees that. But we outnumber them. And then he begins to pray, and he prays for two things. He prays, number one, that his servant's eyes would be open. And he prays, number two, that he would see. Very quickly, when's the last time you prayed for somebody that you love, you care about, you know they're in trouble? When's the last time you prayed for God to open their eyes? We're Christians. We're supposed to do that, right? We're supposed to, but many of us don't. The people that we love, the people that are close to us, the people that we care about, we pray that God would open their eyes and they would see. And God responds. God responds to Elisha's prayer. And it looks like this. Look, take your Bibles. Look at verse number 14. Excuse me. I'm told you I'm wrong. Verse number 17. And Elisha prayed and he said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man and he saw. And behold, look what he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots and fire round about Elisha. What a picture. Now, this isn't just a painting in the background, guys. This is God just opening back the clouds of the spiritual realm and letting the servant look in. Look who's fighting for you. I believe that's true for Elisha. I believe that's true for the servant. I believe that's true for you and me as well. Guys, many of us forget who's on our side. Many of us forget that God is already fighting the battle before us, ahead of us, even circled in behind us. And there are many battles that are to be fought, and God is there for every single one of them. Friends, today, I don't know where you are, what battle you find yourself in, but guys, God is not a last resort. This is not a last resort, "God help me, get me out of here" prayer. This is Elijah saying, "I know my God is there." We need to pray like that. We need faith like that. God strengthen our faith. Point number two, we need to get our focus off of the things that surround us and get them to God. Turn your focus to God. Elisha knew what he had. He knew that his God would take care of him. He knew that his God would help fight the battle for him. And that young servant just had to remove his eyes off the fears and place them on his God. In order to see that God has a plan, you can't stare at your fears. I think of a couple situations I think of David, the little shepherd boy, as he went and fought Goliath. Everybody was looking at the giant, how big, how brute, how scared he was. And there's this little shepherd boy going and getting his stones, killing the giant. Because he wasn't focused on the giant. He was focused on his God. How many of you remember the story of Peter as he walked on water? He stepped out of the boat, everything was fine because what? He was looking at Jesus. He was focused on Jesus. And the moment he looked down, what happened? Thank you. Whoever said that, he started sinking. And he started sinking fast, didn't it? And the next thing you know, he was crying out for God for help. Clifford Baptist Church, what are we focused on? Is that that Campbell boy? No? God bless you. I love that answer. Who is that? Where? Somebody needs to come up here and preach. Oh, somebody's in the balcony. I see you up there. We got a new preacher here. We're focused on God. Look at verses 18 through 20. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. And Elisha said to them, this is not the way, neither is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom you seek. But he led them to Samaria. Elisha begins his prayer life again, and he prays again for the enemy to be blinded. And he talks that enemy into following him. I'm going to lead you to this man that you want. Now, some people say, hey, he's lying to him. No, he wasn't lying because he went with him. And so he leads them on about a 14-mile journey into Samaria. And guess what awaited? The army. Israel's army. So he suckered them, I guess you would say. Is that how you would have planned it? You know, if it was Jeffrey writing this story, Jeffrey would have put his back against the wall. He would have loaded up with everything. He would have come out swinging. That would have been my plan. But God has a different plan. God smote him with blindness. He let him be led into the Israeli army. And there they are in Samaria when he prays again for their eyes to be opened. Christians today, point number three is very simple, but very hard to understand. God has a plan. There's a few people, and I mean a few, there might be two or three people in this sanctuary that know of a situation I'm in right now. Not bad, not nothing to be worried about, but a situation that I wanted to gain control of. And it ain't working out like I planned. Go figure. God's taught me something through this. That he has a plan. And it may not work out today like we want it or like we would want it or have it to. But God's plan is going to work out. And friends, today there's a plan for the enemy as well as for you. But if we don't abide by God's plan, if we come out swinging and on our own plan, it's going to fail. It's going to fail. Point number three, even though we may not understand it, even though we may not want it, even though we may not like it, God has a plan. Let's finish up scripture. Verses 21 through 23. Look at those verses real quick. And the king of Israel said unto Elisha, when he saw them, my father, shall I smite them? Shall I smite them? And he answered, thou shalt not smite them. Wouldest thou smite those whom thou hast taken captive with the sword and with the bow? Set bread and water before them that they may eat and drink and go to their master. And he prepared a great provision for them. And when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away. And they went to their master. And so the bands of Syria came no more into the land of Israel. God's plan. It's amazing, isn't it? He got Elisha and his servant out of harm's way without one drop of blood being shed. To me, that's amazing. That's very amazing. But as we read the closing verses of our scripture today, we see the Syrian bands are in the land of Israel. And the king asked him very simple, Elisha, what are we going to do? Shall we kill them? Shall we kill them? Elisha looks at him and says, no, we don't do prisoners of war like that. But here's what you're to do. You're to fix them the best you have. Fix them and feed them well and send them on their way. And so that's what happens. You know, some of our own plans. We look at the world's conflict and the world's situation, and how many times have we said, just send a bomb and kill them all? Hey, that would have worked here. But it's not God's plan, is it? There are times when I have to watch what I say. Watch what I wish. Watch what I verbally say, because number one, I got two boys that are right there on my heels listening to everything I say. But they're going to think that's daddy's plan. That's daddy's idea. Well, let me tell you this. As we wrap up our lesson today, because of God's goodness through Elisha, even the enemy lived. They got a second chance. Point number four is this. If you focus on God's plan, goodness comes from God. Goodness will come if you focus on Him. That king of Israel was ready to kill him, but instead the band of Syrians received a good meal and a second chance. Today, as I think about the invitation, the first part of an invitation goes something like this. Maybe today you're here and you came to church, maybe just to come. Maybe you don't really know why you came, you just did. Maybe today you're here and you're focused on your fears, your failures, all the things that grab your attention, the things that surround you, the things that take you far away from God. Maybe your focus is on one of these things. And you need to gather your focus. You need to come before the eye doctor today and refocus on the things of God. Today, if you're like that young servant who was focused on all that surrounded him, there's no way out, there's no hope, and you forget that God is on your side, today, you come. You come. Don't wait to the last verse of the song. You come. And you pray, God, get my vision on you. Second part of the invitation is this. Today, if you don't understand it, very simple, very plain, very true, is that God has a plan for your life. And only the way that you can, I want you to look at your life. And if you do not see a relationship with Jesus Christ today, there's no hope. There's no plan. It's all you. It's all about you. But I want you to know that just like Elisha gave that Syrian army a second chance and gave him life, Jesus Christ done the same thing for you. He went to that cross in the place of your sins, and he hung there and he died, and he rose on the third day to give you chance after chance after chance. Will we focus on that? Today, if you never focused on a relationship with Jesus Christ, you need to come and give your heart and your life to Him. Church family, wherever you are right now, I beg you, this Christmas season, it's not about the gifts. It's not about the wise man, but it's about what came in that little manger. Jesus Christ. Today, if you're not focused there, will you join me right here and let God straighten out our vision? Get us back where we need to be. Let's pray. Our Father, our God, Lord, today, thank you so much for the story from Elijah. Thank you for the godly man that he was for you, Lord. And my prayer is this, Lord, that many more godly people, godly men and godly women would stand up and carry that mantle for you, God. Our world needs that. Our world desperately needs that. But God, today we come before you right now, you alone, and pray, Lord, that you'd get us focused on you. As a church, individually, Father, put our focus where it needs to be. Lord, we pray right now, if there's one person that needs you, that they would come. Father, we offer this invitation, and it's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.